Okay, I think we are all set to go. Good morning, everybody. We resume our June board meeting, and we're going to start with a discussion on the disclosure initiative topic of accounting policies. And I'll give the floor to Siobhan.
Good morning, everyone. So I will just pause at the end of each question for board voting and discussion. So May 2020 meeting discussed how to address feedback that the board is assuming that primary users have a greater knowledge of the requirements of IFRS is the case. At that meeting, the board asked staff to bring back a paper further analyzing whether material accounting policy information can include standardized information or information that duplicates
Let me interrupt briefly. You're cutting out a little bit every now and then, so perhaps it's better if you just turn off your video. And can I ask everybody to go on mute when you don't speak? Because I hear quite a bit of background. I'll do it myself.
Okay, so at the May 2020 board meeting, you asked us to bring back a paper further analyzing whether material accounting policy information can include standardized information or information that duplicates or summarizes the requirements of IFRS standards. Paragraphs 14 to 16 detail our approach to that analysis. For those reasons discussed in paragraphs 17 to 19, we recommend that the concept of materiality should be applied to all types of accounting policy information, including accounting policy information that is standardized or duplicates or summarizes the requirements of IFRS standards. So our first question for the board is, does the board agree with the staff recommendation in paragraph 20?
Does anybody want to say something? Françoise?
Thank you, Hans. I happen to not agree with staff recommendation. And in fact, I don't agree with it for kind of the arguments that the staff has for their recommendation, which is a particular specific circumstance. I think that, and that's what's part of the discussion the other day, that it may be useful to improve readability, understandability, to include, to repeat some standardized accounting policy information in the financial statements. So I certainly support that a change is done when people got the feeling that we were in fact aiming at prohibiting it. So we are not prohibiting it. We should recognize, acknowledge that it may be useful to ease understandability of material accounting policy information. But I disagree with the notion that that standardized information would be material in itself, and even in seen in combination with the more entity-specific information. I think, and really what you have in paragraph 18 really indicates that useful accounting policy information can include. But useful doesn't mean it's material. It may be useful because as an accompanying element to promote understandability of the entity-specific accounting policy information. So I think, in fact, that I agree with the staff that we should not defeat the objective of what we're doing. I'm really very much supportive of this effort that we are making, provided that we make it effective. And I think in doing that, we're just doing the opposite that we want to do, and we are going to have the opposite effect than the one we're seeking.
Okay, Nick and then Rika.
Thank you, Hans. For me, the key issue, which Siobhan's already mentioned, is in paragraph four of the paper, how to address the feedback that the board is assuming primary interest users have a greater knowledge of our requirements than is the case. I think it's highly likely that we have assumed they have a greater knowledge. Most users that we meet have an interest in accounting. By very nature, they want to meet us. They have a high level of expertise, but they're not representative of most users, and we have to be careful about that. I also think over the last 10 years,
Nick, very hard to hear you. So can you switch off your camera? Perhaps that will help.
Let's try that. Is that better?
Hopefully. Just go on.
Okay. So I'd say, yes, the users we meet have a expertise in accounting. They're not representative of most users. I think the second thing is, over the last 10 to 15 years, transactions have become more complex. I think we've had lots of changes in our requirements, significant changes, and probably our requirements have become more complex. And against that background, there's also been a significant reduction in the resources to educate investors on the sell side and the buy side. There are far fewer accounting and valuation specialists than there were 10 years ago. And so the question for me is, can or should the disclosure of accounting policies help fill that gap? And I think yes. I'm generally supportive that they can, but I think that's a short to medium term solution. And I think longer term, as an organization, we have to consider other initiatives as well. And we have to remain vigilant that our requirements don't become overly complex. And I think we also have to think about accessibility and making sure that users can understand our requirements. It's an investor education issue. And it's absolutely necessary and right they understand our requirements, because if they don't, how on earth can they hold management to account using accounting standards or reports and accounts? So I think there's some big strategic issues here. As I say, I'm generally supportive of the staff's response, as in this paper today, and definitely in respect to this question, I'll be voting in favour. Thank you.
Okay, Rika and then Changwu.
Yes, Hans, thank you. Thank you for staff for the paper, and I support the staff suggestion, especially because of my experience that once one of my clients brought me the revenue recognition accounting policy, which only include their own language about and also their own specific information about the revenue recognition. But it was really difficult for me to understand whether they recognize the revenue over time or point of time, because they use their own expression and the technological term to explain. So I recommended that to insertion of the few standardized language and sentences or phrase inserted into that accounting policy. After then, we can clearly understand what it really needs. Means. So I think it's sometimes important to insert few standardized sentences or phrases to express that we all have a common ground. So such insertion is the most efficient and effective way to deliver material information to the users of financial statement. So I think it's really important for standard to deliver the message, what is required and not required. So I think the consistent application of the material should be applied to all information in connection with accounting policy, regardless of the specific or standardized sentences or not. Thank you.
Changwu and then Sue.
Thank you, Alice. Yes, I agree with your recommendation. But the one thing I have as a question is, how are you going to reflect your recommendation in the BC, basis for conclusions, or in the body of the requirements of the amendments? Where are you going to reflect this recommendation, Siobhan?
Thanks, Chungwu. We do have some following questions after this section that make a few suggestions about how we can incorporate the recommendation into both the body of the standard and into the practice statement. But we can also definitely add in some explanation in the basis, just to make sure that we're clarifying exactly what we mean and to ensure that people understand the objective.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. Hold on. So, Sue?
Thanks, Hans. Siobhan, so I agree with the staff's recommendation. As I read this paper, you're in effect asking us a relatively narrow question at the end of the day, which is, and it's a good question to ask, which is, do we agree that it should be the concept of materiality that's used as the basis for all of these decisions about what accounting policy information needs to be provided, and only materiality? But do we also agree that there are circumstances when just repeating the requirements and the standard may be material information in and of itself? And I agree with both of those things. And I guess one of the reasons why I agree with that is if I look at IFRS 7 today, we have an explicit requirement that says that you need to explain what the measurement basis is for your financial instruments. And there'll be lots of circumstances in IFRS 9 where there is no choice. It's not a new standard anymore. It may not require a lot of judgment or even be that complex to decide which category to apply. You just have to do it. But if you're a financial statement user, unless you know what the measurement basis is, it would be almost impossible to make decisions based on those financial statements, for example, for a bank. And I think for me that shows me that materiality is the right cut. I'm happy with that based on the feedback we've got, but there will be circumstances where it is pretty basic IFRS information that is what is needed and is material in its own right. So I agree with the staff's recommendation.
Françoise wants to come back in. Françoise?
I'm coming.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah, I want to come back because I really agree with a lot of what is being said, and I find it really peculiar that it leads to different conclusions. When Nick refers to the need to educate users to provide educational material, I certainly agree with that, and I think that financial statements are there to educate users. And if I refer to our materiality practice statement that is reproduced in Appendix D, we have taken the care at the time we wrote this to indicate that, to repeat what we have in the framework, which is that we expect users having good knowledge. But we also have added that at times, even well-informed and diligent users may need to seek the aid of an advisor to understand information about complex economic phenomena. So we have already de facto excluded from the materiality concept the repetition of accounting policies in themselves, being assessed as being in themselves material. And even, so I think we agree that in providing, and it also relates to what Rika said, if an entity would deliver in its financial statements, purely entity-specific information about judgments made and not put them in context of where they play a role, that they would not provide readable and understandable information. But that doesn't mean that materiality goes beyond the entity-specific information itself. And so we have really, one of the objectives of this was to avoid that financial statements, accounting policy, no disclosures are cluttered with repetitions of accounting policies. And here we're just heading directly for encouraging what we want to eliminate, or at least to discourage or to reduce to the right useful proportion. So we can achieve what everybody seems to agree, but without messing up with the concept of materiality.
Martin, and then finally, Gary.
Yeah, man, I have to say, I don't know if I agree or don't agree with the staff recommendation. And on the one hand side, it goes in the direction which was based on my dissent, saying, okay, entities should be able to include standardized information on how they account for a specific transaction if they find, okay, their users have not understood it or it is complex or whatever. So it goes into that direction. But I don't know if this information is really material. And for me, it was always materiality is if you don't have the information included in the financial statements, that is an error, a material error. You have to restate. And I don't know if standardized information about what you can read in IFRS standards and don't have any choice fits with this concept of materiality. And if materiality, if you don't have included it, then maybe your financial statements are have a material error. And therefore, I, on the one hand side, it goes in the direction I wanted to have, but on the other side, I think this information is really not material. It is helpful in understanding the financial information. But is it such material that, okay, you, in the absence of that, that you have a material error? I don't think so. So I don't know if I should vote in favor or not in favor of that.
Gary, and then Tom.
Okay, thank you. Good morning. Siobhan, as always, a very well-written paper for you. And it's hard to sort of disagree with the staff's recommendation and the logic. However, I, like Martin, I'm sort of on the fence, do I support them or not? But it really has nothing to do with the staff arguments. It's the underlying premise why we even have this paper. Because I don't think it's necessary to address it. For some of the same reasons as Francois and Martin articulated, first of all, I think there's nothing that stops preparers from voluntarily putting information in that they need as necessary to communicate the message that users need to be heard. So you would say you always could do this. One of the complaints that came through all throughout the entire disclosure initiative is there's too much irrelevant information, and we don't want to obscure material information, and let's declutter the financial statement. So the so it's hard to vote no against question one because this concept of materiality should apply. But when I look back at the whole paper, Siobhan, is we're trying to get away from lots of standardized information, and this is encouraging it because, I mean, how broad of a user community are we assuming? If it's a narrow group, you'd say that's, you know, it's kind of the way it is. But a lot of stuff we do is complex. And, you know, so if you've got assume a very broad user base that our standards not understood, I think that's a different issue than this paper is addressing. Again, preparers have to communicate their message. They have to make sure the readers understand what need to be understood. So again, my bigger issue is the premise of the whole paper is why can't this be handled through preparers making judgments about what's voluntarily necessary? I don't think we need to address the subject. I didn't a month or two ago when we put it back to the staff. And again, it's hard to disagree with the individual questions as articulated. It's the underlying premise of the paper.
Okay, Tom?
I support all of the staff's recommendations. I just want to commend staff. I think, and I'm sympathetic to the criticisms, but we've heard there are really strong positions on many sides. And I think the path the staff have taken preserves the really valuable improvements we made, I think, by bringing in materiality, but still allowing entities the option to disclose additional information if they think it'll help people understand. So I like the package. And I think one of the big ones on this, when they want to repeat stuff, comes from it can now be material things that are repeated, or it can be just, you know, to help understanding. And as I understand, if they apply practice statement, that suggests emphasizing material matters. So how they do it, and also I think when they bring this stuff in, nobody's just going to bring stuff in verbatim. They're going to build stuff around it. They're going to explain things, and it'll be a package. So there'll be a lot of judgment. But the big thing to me that's a big contribution is that if they follow the guidelines about emphasizing material, so when they're bringing in stuff for a really material policy, it should be emphasized, it should be clear that this is a material policy. And when they're doing it for understanding, hopefully it will be clear that that's not a material policy. And so I think the staff have a reasonable compromise among all the views that we've heard.
Okay, Sue, and then we'll vote.
At the risk of making this worse, I'm a bit in the same camp as Francoise in the sense that I feel like we should be more in agreement than we seem to be, and it puzzles me. But I just wanted to check something with the staff. So as I read this decision does matter, because what this will result in is it's telling people what they need to disclose because it is material information. So we're saying you have to provide the accounting policy information which is material. And we're saying materiality is what we should use as the parameter for what you have to provide, as opposed to something like usefulness. And we're acknowledging that when you decide what information is material, in some cases that will include stuff that is basically IFRS repetition as opposed to being purely entity specific. Is that fair? So we're really being asked those two things?
Yes, that's correct. So I guess our main concern is that we don't want to create an exception from the definition of material. So the staff approach is to approach this type of information as you would any other information for inclusion in the financial statements. If it's material and you need this information in order for your primary users to understand your material transactions, then
not just to understand if it's material. Yeah. So we're saying if material, could reasonably, whatever the words are, affect decision making, investment decisions, then you have to provide it. And we're acknowledging that in some cases that may not be purely entity specific. It could be a repetition of IFRS information. In addition to that, we later in the paper do acknowledge that people may choose, they don't have to, but they could choose to provide additional information, but they need to be aware of the clutter issue.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, well, I agree with that package.
Okay, I do not succeed in rounding this off. Françoise, again, go ahead.
Sorry for making you fail.
No problem.
Very quickly, I think we are in the context of financial statements made generally available to the public. So it's really the notion that we are bringing the information that otherwise the public would not have access to. So I don't buy the idea that not highlighting these elements as material would be an exception to the definition. It would just be in line, totally inconsistent with the fact that financial statements bring the information that people don't have access to otherwise.
Okay. Can I see if the board supports the staff's recommendation?
That's question one.
Yeah.
Mary? Mary's frozen. Okay, 11.
And also saying yes.
I gotcha, 11.
Okay, Siobhan, move on.
Paragraphs 21 to 23 go on to discuss how the concept of materiality can be applied to accounting policy information that is standardized or duplicates or summarizes the requirements of IFRS standards. So our second question from the board is, does the board agree that at times accounting policy information that is standardized or duplicates or summarizes the requirements of IFRS standards can be material and should be disclosed?
Anyone wishes to discuss? I don't think so. Can I see if we support question two?
I see 12.
All right, Shoban.
Okay, so for those reasons discussed in paragraphs 24 to 28, we recommend that the board add to proposed paragraph 117B of IAS1 an example of a circumstance which would clarify that when the accounting required for a material transaction, other event or condition is complex and would otherwise not be understood by users of financial statements, material accounting policy information could include standardized information or information that duplicates or summarizes the requirements of IFRS standards. Does the board agree with the staff recommendation in paragraph 29?
Okay, I see Anne.
Hans, yes, yeah. Siobhan, I support. Yes, thanks, Hans. I support staff recommendation, Siobhan. I think what you're trying to do in this paper is tidy up the things that we raised at last meeting. And I think that's why we had the long discussion on question one, because people have got, as was apparent, different views. But what I saw you trying to do in the paper was just to close the loop on some things. And I think question three is part of that. I support what you're doing. Happy to support this one. It's part of tidying up, and it sits under what we decided in question one as what we needed to do is say that materiality is the concept we're working with, and then this is just some tidying up some loose ends that raised in last meeting. Thank you.
Gary.
Siobhan, I'm looking at paragraph X just above your recommendation proposed wordings, and I think, again, it's hard to disagree with the staff recommendations as written. It's the larger premise of why is the paper here. When it says the second line, and would not otherwise be understood by users, how broad of a term do you mean users? I mean, in the materiality practice paper, we wrote, typical users, not anomalous users or those with special needs. So, I mean, there's always going to be some users that don't understand some parts of our disclosures. It'll vary at their level of expertise, their history, with the subject and so on. So again, if I say would not otherwise be understood by users, a lot of disclosures historically were put in because there were small groups of primary users had a need. So if you have a small group of users that don't understand our standards, which is sort of made early in this paper, how broad do you mean it? This is really bothersome. We're trying to declutter statements and going back to the conceptual framework, you assume they understand business and economics and may or may not be experts in accounting. So how broad do you mean by users?
Yep, so we, yes, we're going in line with the definition of material. So when we say users, we do mean primary users of financial statements. And in line with that, we think that that can be supported because the practice statement, as well as the conceptual framework, does have guidance for preparers on how to identify what the common information needs of primary users are.
Okay. I hear you, but I don't get it.
Jen Chao.
Thank you, Hans. First of all, I agree with staff's proposal. I think this recommendation addressed two issues. One is so-called complex accounting issue. Another one is understandability of users. I But I do have one question, one clarification, because this accounting, this recommendation addressed three situations. One is accounting for those transaction, material transactions. Second is about accounting for other event. And the third one is accounting for conditions. It's really unclear for me because normally the accounting treatment apply to transactions and events. But in this case, I'm not sure in which situation their specific accounting treatment apply to conditions. Normally when we talk about conditions, it's only a factor when we consider what kind of accounting treatment should be applied to the transactions and event rather individual, you know, events or something like that. So this is the first. In addition, I hope that also you can clarify a little bit further, because here we mentioned material transaction, whether that material also applied to event, other event as well.
Yes, we're using that language because it's consistent with the language that we use in the conceptual framework. It's consistent with the language that we use in the definition of material as well. And that consistency has been carried through to these amendments. So we can certainly try and explain further in the basis what we mean. But I guess really the first and foremost, it was the consistency of language to ensure that no one could misunderstand what we meant, because the language was consistent through all three.
Could I just add to what Siobhan was saying there as well? When we developed, as she says, the language is designed to be consistent with what's in the conceptual framework and what is in the materiality practice statement. And what we were trying to do was to cover all scenarios. So we talk about transactions, we talk about, which will cover a lot of what we're looking at. Events are things that are not transactions, but something has actually happened. Conditions are situations where nothing's actually happened. There's been no transaction, there's been no event, but what we're trying to do is provide information about something that exists. So, for example, if you took a balance sheet measurement, that is the condition of that asset in terms of measurement at that particular date. There's been no transaction, there's been no event, but that is the measurement as at that date. So the conditions is trying to cover that sort of static position when nothing has actually happened.
Okay. Mary?
I support the staff recommendation. I just want to make a couple of comments about drafting and thoughts are the basis for conclusion. I'm pleased when I hear us referring back to consistency with the conceptual framework, because I think in terms of keeping discussion, tying it back to the conceptual framework will be helpful. So along those lines, I think Nick, I guess it was in respect of question one, had caution for us about the information needs of users, primary users of financial statements, and how much accounting we should be assuming they know. I agree with that, but I want to put kind of a caution up about, in the conceptual framework we struggled and finally came to a formulation about focusing on the common information needs. So it's not the fact that there may be one person or two people out there who might need this, but it was the information that was common to stakeholders. So I think maybe looking back at that language and seeing if that's helpful, seeing if that would be good to do some kind of balance might be something I'd ask the staff to look at. The second thing is pulling in specifically, and I didn't check this, so I may get a fail on my conceptual framework recollection, but I'm thinking that understandability is an enhancing qualitative characteristic that we may want to refer to in the basis in our discussion about why we have the language that we do have. And then the third thing is on in your paragraph 28, sample, and I understand it's sample, suggested addition, you're focused on the transactions, other events or conditions being complex. I think I'd be tempted to add or not well understood. And I think that might go to the instance of there's a major change this year, for example, or it's something that doesn't come into play very often, so it's not something that you get used to working with. So that's something to think about. Overall, support the staff recommendation. Thanks, Hans.
Okay, Tadeo and then Rika.
Thank you, Hans. I agree with the staff recommendation, but actually I'm not sure how the proposed text addresses the issue of standardized or duplicated text. Paragraph 28 say that to illustrate that standardized accounting policy information, accounting policy information that duplicates or summarizes the requirements in IFRS can be assessed as material. I think that I like the text because I think it's good, and because actually in the end of the day, I believe that we are addressing the issue on the standardized text on question 4. And I will add comment to this later when I answer this question. Thank you.
Okay, Rika.
Thank you, Hans. I support the staff suggestion and the wording here, especially what I like is this example specifically includes the terms of the by user of the entity's financial statement, not the general user walking around. They should be the user of the specific entity's financial statement. So it depends on the where the entity and the user sitting in certain environment and in jurisdiction. So one jurisdiction, the one information might not be material to the user of that specific entity, but if that entity is sitting in the different jurisdiction, one information might be material to user. So we need to use a judgment around there, but I think this example implies that kind of judgment is really necessary. What should be required and not required in IFRS standards. So I agree with staff recommendation. Thank you.
Thank you, Rika. Nick, finally, and then we vote.
Thanks, Hans. And thanks to Mary for just clarifying what the conceptual framework says about that it's the common information needs of users. I think I still stand by my earlier comment. My earlier comments, and I mean, ironically, given our discussion, I suspect many, if not most users, don't actually appreciate our application of materiality.
Okay. So can we vote on question 3? Who supports the staff's recommendation? Okay, then we have the final question 4. Please, Jovan.
Okay, so for those reasons discussed in paragraphs 30 to 38, we recommend that the board adds an explanatory paragraph to the proposed amendments to IAS1, which would clarify that entities are not prohibited from providing immaterial accounting policy information, but also prompt entities to consider whether they are obscuring material accounting policy information with immaterial accounting policy information. We also recommend that the board adds guidance to IFRS Practice Statement 2 to support those changes to IS1 as recommended in paragraphs 29 and 37. Does the board agree with the staff recommendation as described in question 4?
I think we can vote. Can, unless somebody still wants to speak now. Oh, Tadeo? Oh, you vote. Okay, all right.
No. Actually, I want to speak. Sorry, Hans.
Okay. Because you were as well.
Yeah, you were too fast, and I didn't have time to type. Sorry about that. Well, we have been discussing the end of the day the usefulness of the information, and on paragraph 34 of this paper explains that an entity is not prohibited in the end of the day from disclosing immaterial accounting policy information, provided that it does not obscure material accounting policy information. It is related to the definition we have for material in IS1. I think management should include in the financial statements information they believe is helpful. Having said that, my suggestion from paragraph 117 X would be slightly different, because instead of say that even if that information is not material, I think that we should say that if management believes this information helps primary users to better understand an entity's financial statements. Why I'm saying that? Because I think allowing immaterial information in financial statements is a backward step in our disclosure initiative project. But if management believes that the information is helpful, maybe it's not immaterial from management's perspective. And I would rather prefer following this route and also asking management to say that, or including this as a useful information, is also a way to hold management to account. That is a important judgment behind it. Thank you.
Okay. The reason why I'm trying to keep time is that Sue and I have to attend executive committee meeting at 12:30. We are already behind. We can skip the break if necessary. But we've also planned just half an hour for extractive activities, and I really wonder if that will be enough. So, well, let's just see how it goes. We just have to take the time that we need. Who's next? Françoise.
Yeah. I think that it was, in his comment, perfectly illustrated why and how the decision that the board made in responses to other questions is misplaced, because we should have that paragraph 117 highlighting indeed, as he says, that duplicating standardized information may be helpful. But that would be the case if the board has not decided to identify that information as being material. But when the board identified this information as being material, then this paragraph should simply disappear, because otherwise it's just an encouragement to boilerplate.
Rika and then Changwu.
Thank you, Hans. Yes, I think quite important message included in this 170X is that I agree with Tadu that entity is always voluntary, includes a certain non-material but useful information for a user to understand what the accounting policy or the other information means. So I think we should be more neutral within this statement. We shouldn't say what is prohibited or not prohibited. Maybe just say when the information that's not material is included or something. That information is not, shouldn't obscure accounting policy. I think a latter part should be highlighted, and that part is the most important message to be included in this paragraph. So I think with tweaking something, I will support the staff recommendation.
Changwu?
I guess a quick comment. I think you'd better put this paragraph 176X something in the base for conclusions rather than in the body of requirements, because it seems to me idea is a kind of a general principle of not prohibiting of some immaterial information. It's a kind of a very something. Some change it to the general initiative of this project, and we do not want to many some immaterial information in the disclosure. So, however, if we put this kind of a paragraph in the body of requirements, then it's maybe against the original purpose of this project. So I'd like to suggest you to put this in the body. In the base for conclusions rather than in the body of the requirement. Thank you.
Sue, and then Nick, and then I hope we can vote.
Sorry, just a quick comment. I wasn't going to come in, but I think that the staff recommendation makes sense because it follows from the decisions that we've made. So if we've decided that accounting policy disclosures is going to be based on a concept of materiality, then there's comments that we've got here and the language that we're using about prominence and clutter and everything comes exactly from the work we did on materiality before. So what the staff is doing is they're building on existing concepts. If we start to add in words like usefulness and things like that, those are all nice ideas, but it's different to what we've been building, which is applying the concept of materiality that we developed and what we've already written in the materiality practice statement. So given what we've voted on materiality, I agree with what the staff recommend here because it's consistent.
Okay, so finally, Nick.
Thanks, Hans. I would prefer a organizational solution that clearly segregated the material information from the useful information. Perhaps the words we have will lead to that. I can live with those words in the meantime. Thank you.
Okay. Can I see who supports the staff's recommendation?
Chung Wu, just want to confirm you don't want to... No, okay, so that would be 11. I'm sorry, 10.
Thank you very much.